allyship does not walk away once we go back to our everyday lives, because there are systems in place to keep people oppressed, and we have to recognize it. We can't say that it does not exist. It's, what can I do to make this a better place? It truly starts with yourself.
Welcome to The Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. Welcome back to another process episode, which is where we showcase one of our pathway members who have gone on to manifest something extraordinary or big within their life, may it be career, home, relationship, financial. This has become one of your favorite podcast segments that we have, as we can tell by the numbers. And one commonality that I want to make that you'll begin to recognize each of these pathway members share in common from past episodes to new is that not one of them simply dipped their feet into the work or flirted with it. They went all in. I've been able to see this recently with my dad, who's doing the work. They sort of touch in, don't really do the DIs, do it once in a while, skip around the workshops without finishing them. Whereas what you'll listen to with each of these episodes, these are the people that started with how to manifest, moved into shadow, moved into inner child, did all of the workshops, listened to every one of the supported classes, which is our once a month class where Jessica and I go through in the pathway answering members' questions. And then they've gone on to listen to every podcast episode. That's what you will hear from each of the pathway members that we share on this. And not because we're only picking people who do that, the ones who actually manifest the big things, they go all in. And not only that, but once they've gone through the work and they get a baseline of it, they make it their own. So a past guest, Heather Whitaker, you heard that in the Deep Imaginings, she started out with them, listening to them, and they weren't as effective to her. So she figured out her own process that when she walks on hikes, she talks the prompts aloud. So she'll listen to them in her earbuds. Once she's heard the prompts, she then goes and talks out what's been prompted until she gets to the block, and then she reprograms it. And you have to imagine, even as you're walking and listening, you're in a hypnotic state because your brain, your conscious mind isn't flying around. You've now gone into an alpha or a theta. So that's what you'll also find in commonality with these members. They make it their own. They don't stop when they get a roadblock. They actually figure out their own way through it. And now I'm going to kick it over to our host today, Atara Valentine, one of our TBM coaches, who is going to host this process episode with our community experience specialist, Antoinette Johnson, also known as Tony. Enjoy this episode.
Welcome back to another episode of the expanded podcast, The Process, with our new community experience specialist, Antoinette Johnson.
Hi!
And we are so happy to have you on the team. And I'm so happy that we get to do this because we became, even though we were perfect strangers, became connected very early because you messaged me. Well, I messaged you to congratulate you on the position. And then you messaged me a few days later saying, hey, can we chat? And whenever I see that, I think it's like my childhood programming. I always think I'm in trouble for something.
No, same.
But we got on the phone and we had such an amazing conversation. So let's get into the usual first question. What is your background, cultural upbringing, your human design type, your astrological sign?
Yeah. So I'm a non-specific manifesting generator, Leo sun, Pisces moon, Taurus rising, and grew up here in Chicago on the South Side in Hyde Park. Both of my parents are African-American, and they settled in Chicago coming from the South, like during the Great Migration. So my upbringing was, I would say, unstable. I lived with my mom at one point until like fourth grade, then moved to California in that process, moved back to Chicago at fourth grade, lived with my dad, then my grandmother, back with my mom. So I have these three caregivers that have been a part of my life, but I've been living with all three of them since I left for college at different stages.
And how did that affect your view of yourself or the way that you identify with yourself?
It was always trying to really be seen in a way. And I think that's where I get a lot of my people pleasing from. Like, okay, well, my grandmother liked this, well, my dad liked this. And I guess like subconsciously, like, am I worthy enough to be in one place at one time? And if I do all these things correctly, then like maybe that stability will come. At least I'll have stability and like the satisfaction that they're happy with me.
And how did that feel bouncing around? How were you able to connect with your peers, or were you not? What ways did you present yourself? Kind of what challenges did that bring up for you?
Yeah. When moving from Chicago to California, that was like second grade. I had to create a new friend group. And so that was really challenging. Going into a new school, people are already have established friendships. And so really just trying to figure out like who I am and how do I fit amongst these second graders, right? And really just stayed small in that way and allowed like for me to just like view everyone else and see where exactly I fit in. I also was like chubby and overweight, so I was bullied a lot. And kids are mean. And so then like around fourth grade, I moved back to Chicago, had to start a new school. So I was always trying to figure out like my place in life, because even then like my school shut down, I had to start a new school within sixth grade. And then you go into high school. So I really didn't come into myself, I say, until high school of like who I am, what I wanted to be. I really much just like blended in with everyone else.
And so kind of feeling like an outsider who's not really getting to express who they truly are or fully let people connect with that, and just kind of just through people pleasing and just not disrupting anything, right?
Right.
That's how you navigated through everything. And how did that affect your life and ultimately bring you into this work?
Yeah. So I think that was a constant from family to friends. And I ultimately ended up in a really unhappy place in losing a sense of self. I grew up in predominantly white spaces and being like one of the only Black people or like token Black people. So amongst my family, who's African-American Black, like I was so white, you know, and then obviously to my friends, like I am who I am. I'm Black. So it was just weird and trying to figure out and I think navigate life. And ultimately, with the people pleasing and doing what I thought was expected out of me due to societal standards, I ended up in such an unhappy place. And so struggled with anxiety and depression and really hit a rock bottom of like losing oneself of like, who am I as a person? I think last year, November, which is when I started and picked up this work.
Yeah. And I think that's actually why we connected the way that we did, because I think similarly, obviously in a different way, but with my sexuality and my gender, I kind of felt very similar. You know, I was called a girl my whole life because my interests weren't the typical masculine interests. And I have pretty feminine features on my face, right? So I was always pointed out for that stuff. And then also being judged for like a sexuality that I didn't even understand what it meant at the time, but other people pointed out that I wasn't like them. And when we're in this issue, you know, that's our life and we have to deal with it, but it's very confusing. So it's really hard to know yourself because even in your developmental time, you're not really getting positive reinforcement from anybody. So you think at the core of yourself, there's just something wrong. And for me, even as I grew up and as I understood my sexuality more and understood that there's not one way to be a man, even the LGBTQ community wasn't accepting of me because I was much more, well, I don't really identify as anything. I'm more just emotionally connected to people. And they're like, well, that's not true. If you say you're bisexual, it's just that you're confused. And so it was almost like I felt like I didn't really have a team or anywhere to ever go. And in turn, when I was in my own space, I was so confused why nobody would accept me. And I think you felt like that in a similar way about a different issue.
Definitely. For me, it has always been about like race and not fitting in any way. And I guess even growing up too, being overweight and made fun of in that way, like I just never fit in with anyone. And as I've gotten older, I realized that that has allowed me to be a more empathetic person. And I am able to move through different groups of people. But like you said, growing up, you lose that sense of self and like, why am I not lovable the way that I am? And why can I not show up for who I am? So yeah, that was suppressed for a while. Last year was the boiling point of like wanting to do something different after listening to this podcast for over a year, maybe 2 years.
Wow. And what like an amazing full circle moment for you.
Yes.
And can we kind of talk about, because we've talked about this a lot, just in our own friendship, but just kind of allyship and kind of the state that we're in right now where there's so much things changing in an amazing way. Mm-hmm. And then on the other end, there's so much resistance from other people who have experienced life a certain way and are so threatened by the change. And we spoke about your music interests and you have a wide variety of genres that you listen to and you're a huge country music fan.
Yes.
And being a Black woman and listening to country music, when you go to a show, you get looked at with a different set of eyes than everybody else who's attending that concert. Can we kind of talk about how that makes you feel and just what you're dealing with in just very common situations so people understand how they can do better to also be more inclusive?
Yeah. And the way you show up in the world being a person of color, it's situations that remind you that you're a person of color. So I don't wake up and I'm not like, oh, I'm Black today. It's like, no, I'm a woman. I'm Antoinette. Like, here I am in the world. But I went to a country concert and recently, and I was the only Black person besides the workers. And this concert was in Illinois and people from Indiana were coming and people from Ohio were coming for this particular concert. Being in that moment, you know that there are people who do not like me, who might have like Confederate flags and different viewpoints. And this is something that my friends never thought of until I brought it up to them. When we talk about allyship for my friends and my peers and my support, it's to understand the position that someone else might be in and to be empathetic to that. And if someone brings up a concern, to not minimize it.
Definitely. And I think it's interesting because whenever people ask me, like, how am I a good ally? How am I a good LGBT ally? And there's part of me, I love that people are trying. And there's another part that it's just generally disappointing that you have to even be looked at differently just for being a human being. And when people are sympathetic to it, it is very heartwarming because most people don't live their lives looking out for other people and have become incredibly selfish and only care about their own motives and things that affect them. And I always just tell people, being an ally is just treating people the way that you should be treating everybody. Don't make people feel like they're different when you see something that's not fair. stand up, lend these people support, be a voice, like help magnify people's voices. And that's kind of what we should just be doing for people in general and be able to look at ourselves and see maybe even in ways that we're not aware of that we could stand up more.
Absolutely. And I think that's the part is like really being aware of a situation and what could potentially happen. I feel like, of course, we're seeing this uprise, and I think it's because a lot of people are at home and don't have to deal with like their day to day. That's a distraction, right? Like it's right in front of you. So now this affects everyone. You can't turn a blind eye to it. And it's important, like you said, to be selfless and a partner in your day to day. Like allyship does not walk away once we go back to our everyday lives, because there are systems in place to keep people oppressed, and we have to recognize it. We can't say that it does not exist. It's what can I do to make this a better place? And it truly starts with yourself. So I don't think I even told you this, but in the beginning of the past couple months, I want to say after George Floyd was murdered, a lot of my friends started to reach out and just say, what can I do? And I was repeating my story so many times that I had just created a Zoom call for everyone to really have an open dialogue. And I think for me, it's to create a safe space so people can ask me questions, right? And it's not my job to educate every person, but if I can create a space for people to ask the questions that they think are like dumb or offensive or disrespectful, that's how we move forward in creating empathy for one another and like actual change.
I think that's absolutely beautiful. And I also think when we talk about this, and we've actually talked about this a lot privately, just when people start the competition of who's the better ally and they start judging the other person and you're not doing this. And it's so great to have what you did is amazing to really give people space to understand, because people do turn this into another thing that they do, like their Black Lives Matter on their profile. And then they start attacking other people that they don't feel like are sharing enough or doing enough. And it's like, take all of that energy that you're using and put it toward the cause. Don't put it towards someone else who is trying to push things forward as well. There's so much negativity that we're working against, and that's where our energy should be focused, not at each other.
Absolutely. And I think, like you said, like you have to create space, and it's not about who's the better ally, rather than what are you doing behind the scenes?
Definitely. And also creating space for people to actually learn and to change. Mm-hmm. People should take responsibility for things that they've done, but people also should have an opportunity to educate themselves and move past things.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And as we are talking about this, we're also kind of doing that in our life. We're educating ourselves. We're trying to expand, become different people, shed things that aren't serving us. So let's talk about your personal process within this work and how you went from being a podcast listener for almost a year to jumping into the work.
Yeah. So like, I guess many of like our listeners, I was dedicated every single Friday. And I think I was like catching up at one point. So on my commute to and from work, I would listen and really got shooken up and had a rock bottom where I had debilitating anxiety and depression and a true like loss of self. But I was familiar with everything in regards of like terminology and looking for expanders and like telling my friends about the podcast, where then I had to look at that and say, this is a sign to do something different. Everything that I've learned over this year has led me to this point. So now it's time to really put myself first and do this work and do the hard work. And I had a therapist during that time as well. We got through recent trauma, we got through some childhood trauma, but inner child and shadow really was like a crash course.
And is that the first thing that you jumped into, or did you make a list first, or did you go right into the workshops?
I went right into the workshops, and I didn't make a list, I think, until maybe a month into doing the work because I didn't know what I really wanted. I just knew that change had to happen. And I didn't even have like a micro manifestation. It was just really like, okay, these are the big things that I want to happen within my life, but I need to do so much work on me first. And so I was just really focused on doing the heavy lifting before I was like really excited about possibly manifesting.
Similarly, that was my approach. Also, I just knew I felt so unhappy. Mm-hmm. And that was my primary focus on how to learn to shift that. And I really love when people approach the work from this place because manifestation's amazing. But when you're in complete alignment and you're unblocked and you're expanded, manifestation almost becomes second nature. And so when you were doing these workshops, what kind of stuff came up for you that you never saw before or you never looked at? And how did you process what was happening?
So much came up, and luckily I had a therapist to help me along the way. I didn't realize how, I mean, I did realize, but I never went into the depths of my childhood. I've always tried to shy back from that. I grew up similar to you in an abusive household and have carried that with me. So just in shedding that and being seen was interesting. I never thought of myself, because I am a Leo, of someone who shies away from attention. But I realized that I've always been so bold and boisterous, and like it was a cry for attention rather than like, this is who I am. That was interesting. And a lot of shadow words of like overweight and ugly and not deserving, not enough. Those are really tough to get through. And I had friends who I was doing the work with as well. So I really encourage like having some type of support system, which is why I'm so excited that we have a community. I was never on the Facebook page, but really just like went through this with like my therapist and really close friends.
I love that. And that's one thing that I think is so important in addition to this work that I always tell clients in sessions is your conscious work is just as important as your subconscious work. And it's staying in that space. And I always tell them having awareness, presenting whatever doubts coming up with competing behavior, mm-hmm. competing thought, and support. And those are the things that really help you stay in your flow when you're outside of the workshop, right? So that the subconscious work really has the space to integrate and you can fully stay in your worth and start stepping into that. So when you were going through those workshops, through shadow, for example, because I know this is really difficult for people and so many struggle going through the shadow workshop, what was your process like in that?
So I took it really slow. I took it slow and I did stop a few times. So I do want to encourage anyone who stops to continue to pick it back up. It only improves yourself. And I think my process was just like once a week. I know I probably should have been doing it more and I definitely should go back in it now that I feel like I'm in a different type of up level. But once a week I went in and I surrendered. And I think the most difficult part was sending the message out to friends and the people who knew me, similar to like most that I hear like their stories. But it's like, what am I going to hear back from them? Which was like really challenging. And I wasn't shocked by anything that they said, rather than, I don't know if disappointed would be the word, of like, I can't believe I show up that way.
Yeah. And did it resonate with you? I know a lot of people either get their emails back or their texts back and they feel like it's right on the money. Mm-hmm. Some people feel in complete denial and right, which we all just want to do. And then some people initially doubt it and then they realize how that is true, but they initially think it's just complete projection from the other person. So what space were you in when you got those emails back after the initial fear of actually sending them through?
It was denial. I was like, the ego was like, there's no way that this is true. And some of the words were selfish. And so I did think a little bit of it was projection. And I think the way that other people look at certain words and actions, because like when I heard selfish, I was like, that's just me now learning how to create boundaries, right? But for other people, that looks like selfishness. And so I think you have to discern what certain people are saying. But I was definitely in denial until I realized that it was true. And I like had to just accept that and integrate that into who I was.
Right. And I think I always explain to people too, obviously, there's always going to be a little projection, but I like to take complete responsibility for the way that I'm being perceived. And I think similarly, when you are being slightly protective of yourself, whether it's through insecurity, survival, whatever the situation is, there is a selfishness in that that someone may be picking up on because they don't feel like they're getting the full version of you. So there's always a way to find a perspective to look at these words through.
Right. And realizing these people care for me and they love me and they're just being honest, right? And so I think that was also a way for me to move through that with a little bit of grace and being like, it's okay that they're saying these things.
Definitely. And when you went through inner child, were you able to use your parents? Did you have magnetic parents? And if so, how did you choose them?
Yeah, so I tried to use my parents and it was so difficult. And so recently, this is like my second time going through it. I am now choosing other people as my parents. Kerry Washington, who I love and adore, she's my mom. And and I have like Tracy Ellis Ross as like my aunt who's like coming in and like really supporting me throughout that. So yeah, at first I tried my parents and I thought it was helpful. It was helpful to an extent. But recently, I didn't realize that I wasn't able to go deeper just because it wasn't realistic. I almost did this dance of like using my dad and my mom and my dad giving my mom love to then give me love. But then realized like that's still not giving me unconditional love and showing up and being seen.
I know I actually love what you're saying because there is a guilt that people have about not using their parents when they take it through this work. And none of this work is about looking back or being disappointed with people or being angry with people. It's about going back and giving yourself what you need. And I think the way that you said that was so beautiful that you knew you couldn't get the deeper healing that you were looking for because it still felt like there were conditions based on it, even with the version of your parents that you were creating in your mind, right? And so when you find the people that you feel so connected and so safe with, that's when it truly becomes about you and you're able to give yourself all of the things that you needed. So in turn, you're not searching for it in a partner that you're calling in, or you're not searching for it in friendships. And that's really the gift of all of this, is that you have total control on giving yourself what you needed, and you can do it in any way, shape, or form that speaks to you.
Absolutely. And the guilt was there in being like, I can't use my parents, but it was almost a sense of relief not using them too.
100%. Because it's also your space, and especially with you not having the space to really define yourself or show up as yourself, this is probably one of your first opportunities to really sink into yourself and find out what you wanted to express and who you are. And you got to do it completely on your own terms.
Yes. You see it within your relationships, right? I love how you said you're not searching for that within friendships. I really have navigated my friendships and relationships and looked at them differently and not put value. And I think because of the lack of stability that I had in family, I project that with my friendships. But now that value is in myself. And it's more so like, of course, I love my friends and it's vice versa, but it's like they should be deserving to be my friend as equally I deserve them as good people to be friends.
Versus needing them to feel validated in yourself.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
So once you went through these workshops, then this is where you sat and made your list, or did you go somewhere else?
No, I made my list. I actually have it right here. I made many lists, actually. I think this, the one that I'm looking at now, is like my third list, but my first list, and being non-specific, I knew that, and I like crossed things off that didn't make sense. When doing this work, you realize like, oh, I wrote that down because I wanted something else. Like that wasn't the root of what I was wanting.
And do you want to share a few of the things that were on there? And then we can talk about kind of the process, the way that they came through, and what kind of tests came up, if you needed to find expanders around them.
Yeah, a couple of things on my list is finding a bridge job that allows me to have flexibility where I can learn from an entrepreneur, but still have time for like schoolwork, finding spiritual entrepreneur expanders, which I have and it's continuing, finding a mentor that allows me to develop and master like my spiritual gifts that I have, finding an affordable naturopathic doctor. I needed a MacBook. So a lot of things were more so about building myself up. And I think like the MacBook and of course like paying off credit card debt, those are some of the materialistic things.
And obviously you were tested majorly, even after your manifestation was put right in front of you, at the way that your father responded to the situation. What kind of expanders did you call in to help you stay in alignment?
So I called in so many spiritual expanders. It actually changed to where I put in Black expanders, Black spiritual expanders. One of the expanders that I called in was Layla, who was just on the podcast.
Through watching her, what did that open up for you?
So I watched several of her interviews, and it made me realize that no matter where you're at in life, you can always shift and really come into your purpose. I think I've always felt like I'm here on this earth for a reason. And for me, I'm also religious, so I pray, and I have been like praying for purpose in life and understanding that purpose and being open to whatever that could be, and was definitely tested in other ways of getting job offers for like the same industry that I was in that would be equally as demanding, or other networking opportunities that just wasn't right. And almost like a test of like, are you going to jump ship and be desperate for something else? And I really realized that like when you just wait and allow, I guess, the universe to do its thing, it'll come to you. And I think it's about being patient and like really surrendering.
Definitely. And I actually want to follow up something that you brought up, because I know there are so many people within this community who are also following a religion. And there can be so much, again, every time that we expand and we look inward, there's this feeling that we're being selfish or self-centered. And a lot of people who are religious kind of wrestle with how their religion and manifestation work together, if it's not God's intention and things like this. And I'll share a brief story after, because when Lacey was doing her speaking tour in LA, someone had asked this question, and it was the first time I ever got a download that like zapped into me about this person's question. And she was like sitting 30 feet back from me, and I was in the front row, and I turned around and I was just trying to like mouth to her that I had something to tell her. Yeah. And I have my perception on the way that these work in harmony together. But what does your relationship look like with your religion, if you want to share what that is, and also how it fits in with your manifestation process?
Yeah. So I'm Christian and non-denominational. I belong to a non-denominational church. And it was definitely, in all honesty, a struggle of manifestation. And is that selfish? Is it greed? And then you realize that that is all societal programming. And truly, when you are in alignment, what you want will come. And so I do multiple things. I'm very like spiritual and having like an altar, and I have Buddhist practicings. Also going back to being your authentic self, like really figuring out what works for you and leave away with everything else. Like reading my Bible keeps me grounded, having a spiritual community keeps me grounded. But also, if something doesn't click that my pastor is saying, just taking it and not allowing that to affect me in a negative way.
Absolutely. And I think the what was interesting is the download that I got for this woman, because I was raised Catholic also. And while we weren't very strict, the idealism that I learned was very limiting and felt very paralyzing to me. And I always thought I should be able to have a little bit more power in my life and not constantly have to look outward for forgiveness. I wanted inner forgiveness or to look outward for guidance. I wanted to be able to look inside. And that was so different from the way that I was raised. But now that I've studied so many religions and practiced so many different schools of thought, I said to this woman when I got this crazy download, because she did have so much guilt around her relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And manifestation and feeling like she was trying to be God. And I said to her, this is actually the perfect practice to add to your religion, because this is actually taking away all of the blocks, all of the shame, the guilt, the pain, so that you can actually be the person that you were put here to be. So there's actually nothing better to accompany your religion and your beliefs and your relationship to God, whatever that may look like, than to actually show up completely authentically based on who you actually are and using your innate gifts that only you have.
Absolutely. I think that's perfectly said. And knowing too that we, and whatever people's beliefs are, but is that we co-create with God. And I think there has to be action. So with I pray, but I also put action into that. And that is my way of co-creating. I just don't let it rest in God's hands. But then I also, if for whatever reason, like my outcome isn't the same, ask to really see a bigger picture, which I think just happens in life once you really surrender and go through the process. And like manifestation allows you to shed those layers, like you said, of the programming, the limiting beliefs, and you can really see clearly. And I think you can understand a process in this dance that you do with the universe and co-creating. It allows you to not just like give up all your power.
Definitely. And I actually think it's all really inspiring because it reminds me, there's this story that I read, and this is about like religion as well, right? But it really ties into this manifestation process. And like you are saying, it's not just about sitting and doing a workshop and sitting in a DI seven times a day and then waiting for something to happen. You have to also take action and you have to meet those things so that you can actually call in the thing that you want. And there's a story, and I'm going to paraphrase this just for time's sake, but where there's a man who lives in a two-story house and a flood is about to happen. And the cops come through and they tell everybody, this flood is about to hit. Everybody needs to evacuate. And this guy says, I don't have to. God is going to save me. Okay? So it starts flooding. His whole first story of his house floods. He's in the second story and someone comes in a boat and they're like, come on, you have to come out. It's not safe. And he says, I'm okay. God is going to save me. Gets worse and worse and worse. He's on his roof. The flood is almost to the top. A helicopter comes. They're like, come in here. You have to. You're not going to make it. And the guy says, I'm okay. God is going to save me. The guy doesn't make it through this storm. He gets to heaven and he says to God, what happened? You said you were going to save me. My relationship, I've had total faith. I followed you. And God says, I did. I sent the police car, I sent the boat, and I sent the helicopter, and you didn't take any action. And I think that's such a beautiful story. And it's something just to tie in the religion and manifestation that really ties in with this work too, is that you have to do all of the internal work and all of the emotional work. And then you have to take all of that and step into your life and start co-creating with the universe so that you can actually call in the things that you want to.
And it takes practice and it takes being patient with yourself and doing so.
time of year is my favorite time to recommit to the work. For summer, I can definitely get a little off pace, numb out a little, do all of the things I enjoy until something will trigger me, and then I become very committed. And especially with the holidays and all of the triggers that come up with family and preparing for the manifestations that I want to call in for the new year, that is where my focus lies, is in the workshops. So for those of you who are just tuning in, or for those who are recommitting to this practice throughout this holiday season, like I am, our Pathway membership includes 12 months of unlimited access to all of our workshops, our monthly supported class, and our new members-only community group. This September, we have a special promotion going for new Pathway members only. If you're interested in learning more, go to tobemagnetic.com/something special and enter your email. You can also find the link in our show notes below. We'll see you there for the season, recommitting or starting your new practice. Now, back to the episode.
Let's get into your test, because I know you had so many transitions in your personal life, in your job, in relationship. What were some of the tests that came up for you? And if you want to get into detail around those, that would be amazing.
Yeah, a lot of it was emotional tests, really. And when it came to this job specifically, I got offers or interviews, and it just wasn't right. And I had to say no, no, no.
And how did you feel in that process? Like, I'd love to hear like two of the tests or three of the initial ones, kind of the first one you had to say no to. Where did that leave you feeling?
So my anxiety and depression got so bad that I had to take medical leave. And when I decided to come back to work, I came with a new approach. And knowing that this job isn't forever, it's temporary, and I'm working on manifesting the job that's right for me. But I also had to find the joy in the little things throughout the day that kept me going. And knowing that I had a job that provided for me and put a roof over my head. And I know some people right now are unemployed, but we have this time where we can find joy. And I think it's all about the perspective in that. And so once I changed my attitude, I think the test started to come quicker and then also easier. And so for me, when creating my list, it wasn't about how much money I was making or the title of my next position. I had no clue what title, what company, but I knew how I wanted that job to make me feel. And what I wrote down within my list was more so just about that, is like, what's the company culture of this job? And can I walk away from it every day feeling so fulfilled? And I don't think that people think that that's possible. And so when I say now, like, and it's in my list, I wrote down, like, I don't want my job to feel like work. And I want my coworkers to feel like family. Like, I've worked for a smaller company, so, and I've had that experience, so I had an expander in that matter. But even someone who respects that I'm in grad school and respects that this might not be my job forever and will support me within my next chapter, I thought that was so important. And during my interview with Lacey, she asked me 10 years from now, like, what do you plan on doing? And I think that is so important for me to have within my boss, for someone who's running the company, to have the mindset of, like, your goals might be bigger than here, and how can I help you get there? So I just thought that was beautiful. And that's when I really knew, like, okay, this is the job for me. But I was unwavering in that process, and it took time, and I was in a magic dark for a very long time. And looking back on it, I was probably just passing tests, but I was staying so firm in that. And I think that's when, like, when my dad wasn't on board with what I knew was my next step, that really shook me.
And in that process, was there a test for you that was really hard to pass as your test kept coming through? Or were you just really leaning into the work to stay in alignment?
No, I was just really leaning into the work to stay aligned. There wasn't really, I guess more so my dad one was the hardest. That was the hardest test to really pass and say, am I doing something wrong here? Like on the outside, it looks like I'm taking a huge risk that might not be rewarding. And I'm leaving something that's so stable and that it's stepping into the unknown. I was so fearful. And I think that was the biggest test. But it also was not until now did I realize that that was my final test.
Definitely. And it was a huge one. And so before we spoke, because that's when probably your biggest manifestation that you had on your list came through. What tools were you using to kind of navigate through this process with grace during that time for your reinforcement? Like, were you popping into the DIs for triggers? Were you in a workshop? Were you doing any reinforcement stuff? Or you just knew the space that you were in and you had to stay committed to it?
It was both. It was popping into the DIs definitely with like so many triggers, but also knowing the space that I was in and really holding strong in that. I've been desperate so many times and I've ran into the fire so many times that I knew what that looked like and I knew what that outcome would be. So I tried something different and really just staying still and being still and trusting in the process. And that definitely happened with the DIs and workshops and therapy to keep going through these limiting beliefs. And I also realized a part of my process is talking things out. So even if I'm not in a deep imagining, if there's a trigger to bring that up with either my therapist, a friend, that person, and really dive into that conversation to figure out what that root cause is. That's how I figure out a lot. That's how I get to the root a lot of the times is discussing and talking them out. So that was really therapeutic throughout the process.
I love that. And I think the thing is, because then what it becomes is really hitting it from so many different directions. You have the subconscious work, you're like consciously talking about it, then you're getting feedback from other people to really understand why this energetic is coming up around you. I think that's such a cool way to approach this, and also a great way for people to utilize their therapist if they are in therapy while doing this work. So their therapy and to be magnetic don't have to be two separate things. They're things that can integrate together and really help you step into the life that you're really trying to live.
Totally. They're one and the same. And I like my therapist knows like so much of the terminology because I'm combining them both. And I was like, okay, so like this is a limiting belief. And maybe I would say society standards, or I feel like I was being tested in this way. And for some people, like it seems so abstract. But once we're able to really mesh it together and understand truly the energetics or the process, our own process, it no longer becomes this foreign concept, but just a way of life.
Love that. And so what's really interesting is you really leaning into this during your process, surrendering instead of coming from a place of lack and just taking the thing that felt safe. And the thing that would also probably have would have been reinforced by your dad and given you some kind of comfort, you push through all of that. And what I want to point out is that your manifestation came with a test attached to it. The biggest thing that you had to decide, am I going to step into my life as myself without the approval of the people that I've normally sought approval from? Or am I going to shrink and take that approval and live a life that I don't feel satisfied in? And I think that's so inspiring.
Absolutely. And I mean, you said it in such a beautiful way. I didn't even think about it that way, but yeah. And it's really putting myself first and my needs first, which gets lost in a way of life. And I think that word again, selfishness, pops back up. People feel that it's selfish to live the life that they want to live. And I had to find so many fragment expanders who were really just authentically themselves and celebrated for that. This process has allowed me to figure out what that is for me. And it's really exciting and so cool to be on the other side of it.
So when this manifestation came through, before we spoke, before you talked to your dad, before all of that stuff happened, how did you feel?
I felt at ease. when I tell you, like, I really surrendered and did the DIs and was unwavering in my next step, I felt this like sense of knowing that it's going to come, which is why I think that last test really hit me so hard. It almost like clouded that like strong stand that I had for so long.
And so we're kind of full circle to where we started then, right? So then we talked. Once you were in it, you were kind of still up-leveling into your role. You felt that release and that relief and that excitement. Then a little bit of doubt came in through your dad, which was a test. You passed and you've been growing into this. So how are you feeling now?
I feel amazing now. I feel there's a wave of up-leveling happening. And in that up-level, I'm also way more sensitive than what I used to be. It's really crazy. I'm just like way more hyper aware of a lot of things, but there's so many changes that's happening in my life. Like I'm graduating or I've graduated. So that's a new chapter. I plan to move to LA. So that's a new chapter. I'm finally getting divorced. Like that's a new chapter. I can see the end of a lot of things, old way of living in life, and the start of a new in every single way.
That's amazing. And do you want to talk just slightly about the shift also in yourself that led you to make a decision to even get divorced?
Yeah. So I was married 4 years ago, but have been separated for 3.5 years. I know getting divorced was a huge shadow for me. It was something, getting married, you never think about getting divorced. And I have not always seen the healthiest of relationships in my family. So I for sure wanted to have a healthy relationship and a marriage that succeeded. And getting divorced, that meant that I did not succeed.
Totally.
And you know, the thing about my marriage is that during the time that I decided to get married, I was in a place of low self-worth and deservingness. And even though I was head over heels in love and fully committed to that relationship, I settled. I settled for someone who was mentally and emotionally abusive to me. And if there's any time that you have to have a secret away from your friends and family at any part in your relationship, I think that's when you can really know that it's unhealthy. But I really didn't know that then until we got into a huge argument and I realized that I can't have children with this person. Like it will forever be my fault and I would be so unhappy, and bringing a child into this marriage would just be repeating the cycle of my childhood. Like there's no way that I can allow that to happen. And so I decided that I was going to get divorced, but it took me 2 years to actually follow through with it because of the shame and the shadow. And because we've been separated, it wasn't a big deal and it didn't directly affect my life. But there was so much shame around actually getting divorced that I was able to overcome with this work, and then also just raise my self-worth and had expanders along the way to understand what a healthy relationship is. And even with like my therapist and going through the dynamics of my marriage, I realized it's so similar to my childhood. And no wonder why I married someone who didn't validate my feelings. I experienced the same thing in childhood. But by doing this work, it just shifts the perspective entirely. Rather than avoiding the situation and it being a cloud, I was able to step into, this is my reality and it's okay to be getting divorced.
Definitely. I completely am so proud of you and also have so much respect for you for literally going against every single thing that you've been told you were supposed to do, that you were supposed to be, and finding out what you actually wanted and taking all of these shifts in this process to get there. And this is just the beginning. So what are you trying to call in now? Obviously, the move to California.
Yes, the move to California is a big one. And the apartment, is my next calling. So I think that's like the next big move that I'm really calling in. Oh, I forgot to mention that in this process too, I paid off like a lot of credit card debt, like thousands of credit card debt. So that was amazing as well.
And so, because people have an idea with this work that once they go through, they get a big manifestation and then everything's easy from that point, right?
No.
And that's not what happens, right? There's always more work to do. There's always a new way to reapproach the work. So what is coming up for you now that these big things have happened? What kind of core beliefs are still circulating that you are dealing with? And like, how are you navigating through that to get your next manifestations to come through?
Really, I am struggling with what I'm supposed to be doing in life. So I have this like unconventional job that I like love so much that doesn't feel like a job, and a new degree. And I think people's perspective of what they think that I should be doing in life versus what I want to do in life. And that's been huge. And I think still my family and getting through, I have like a crash course, like with my family right now, and getting through these tests, just because like I'm living with them during quarantine. But it is really just standing up for myself and not shrinking for anyone else. I think that is what I'm going through right now, and being confident in that. And that's not always an easy process.
Definitely not. And what are you using to stay in that space?
So definitely the magnetic self, DI, going through inner child all over again, understanding my authentic code, which I actually just had to redo in quarantine. And I swear, like with this up level, it like shifts. Like I want different things in life. So really implementing that on a day-to-day is what I'm working through.
I love that. And I think it's so important for people to realize, like, my authentic code has changed 3 times and it shifts because I'm always shifting. My list shifts. So some people are like, oh, is this ego? I don't care about this anymore. That just means you've up-leveled and you're past it. It doesn't mean you don't have clarity on what you want. We're shaping, shifting creatures. And that's the goal with this work and just in life, is to constantly be growing and experiencing different things, and then being able to look at yourself, take accountability for the things that you want to shift, and then do the work around them so you can continue to expand.
Absolutely. And unblocked no has been huge for me as well. Setting boundaries. I grew up in a family of like no boundaries, and now I'm back living with my family, so there are still no boundaries, but trying to figure out like how to navigate, like, this is me. And my family is almost like, who are you? Right? Because I have really changed who I am as a person, but reconnecting with myself and implementing what's healthy for myself, really setting those boundaries have been like amazing and unblocked now, as well as like not doing things that I don't want to do. I'm such a people or was a people pleaser, still can be. So I think really only doing the things that lights me up and allowing time for rest. I for sure equate it being busy is being successful, or productive is like success, when honestly, the candle gets burnt at both ends and then you're just like completely out. So rest has been huge and unblocked now.
Amazing. And what would you say is the biggest lesson that you've learned throughout this process?
The biggest lesson that I've learned throughout this process is that it's okay to not always get it right. And that doesn't put you back. I remember being like so fearful of like, am I passing tests? Am I doing this work right? And just allowing that to be. The tests will continue. You're always on the right track. So don't beat yourself up. Like, you're always on the right track.
I absolutely love that. And I think so many people, when a test comes and they don't pass it, they're like, oh, I just ruined everything. Now my manifestation's not going to come. What if this test doesn't happen again? And it is. And instead of feeling guilty, just own where you are, own who you are right now, the actions that you took or didn't take, And then move past it. It's going to come again. You just know that there's a little bit more work to do and you will have that opportunity again. So I think that's absolutely beautiful.
One last tip is to celebrate. I think celebrate where you are in the process and celebrate the wins and just feeling new and reborn.
And what advice do you have for someone who is just starting this work? Or even someone who's been in it for a while and they don't have clarity around what they're doing. What's your best piece of advice that you've learned?
Best piece of advice is to really surrender. When you're doing this work, it's okay to let the walls down. Take it at your own pace and find your own groove. I think it's all in one. So you surrender, you take it at your own pace, and you find your own groove. Inner child and shadow is like so hard, so do not give up. But if you stop, pick it back up. Like I had finals, so I didn't do much work last week, but I picked it back up. And I think that's really important. That's more than just one piece of advice, but it all coincides.
And I just want to say you're such a beautiful person inside and out. And I think this episode is going to be so expansive for people. And you've really been very transparent and shared how you integrate therapy with this work, how you integrate religion with this work, taught people how to be better to each other, how to use their voice for other people. And I just found this so inspiring and I'm so grateful that we got to do this together. So thank you so much.
And this is such an honor. This is like beyond belief. So I am stoked.
I'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
If you enjoyed this episode, definitely send it to the friend, the family member, whoever out there could benefit. That's how I garner a lot of my information, are when friends shoot over a really profound episode they've heard somewhere to me. I also want to encourage you, if you want to be entered to win a 1-year membership to The Pathway, go and leave a 5-star podcast review. We've been announcing some really cool ones and reading them off, and it's been pretty profound how already those pathway memberships have been super instrumental to the people who have won them. We'll choose a new winner each month, so listen in here at the end of the episode to hear if you've won. And in an effort to make sure to have representation in this process series, go ahead and submit any process testimonials you have, especially to our LGBTQ+ community, our Black and BIPOC, as well as the WISE, which is anyone in the community who is 45 and over. All right, we'll be back next week.